What's up? This is Bakari Sellers, and I'm host of the Bakari Sellers podcast. You know, twice a week on my podcast, we cover all the news, the issues of the day, through interviews with all types of guests. And so far, I've talked to people like Deshaun Watson, Charlamagne the God, Donna Brazile, even my good friend Hillary Clinton. So listen to the Bakari Sellers podcast on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bill Simmons podcast presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filtered by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same game parlays for every NBA game. Download the app today. Bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com. to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer partner of the NBA. It's just what you need to sit back and enjoy the game. And they're also getting fans closer to the game than ever. You can win exclusive NBA prizes like courtside seats, signed memorabilia, and more. I love Michelob because of how light it is. It's only 95 calories with 2.6 carbs. You know what the perfect time for Michelob Ultra is? A little doubleheader, a little NBA doubleheader. Right at first half of the first game. I don't know, West Coast time, that's usually about 5 o'clock, 5:30. Perfect time for a beer. You can do it. Grab a pack to enjoy today. Learn more and enter for your chance to win at MichelobUltra.com/courtside. LDA 21 and up. We're also brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network, where we have some excitement happening on the basketball side this week. Stay tuned. Follow the Ringer NBA show for a couple of announcements. I don't want to spoil it. I'll have more for you on Tuesday about that. TV Concierge is a podcast we had started doing right before the pandemic, little 15-minute mini pods. And now we're going to be bringing that back this week. We are going to be doing at least three a week, little 15-minute recaps. There's so much good TV going on right now that we can't resist doing little recaps. I will be doing the first one on Monday, so stay tuned for that. It is a movie that was on, I don't want to spoil it, either Hulu or Netflix. I'll give you one of those two choices. I'm going to be breaking that down. Little 15-minute podcast available only on Spotify. Speaking of Spotify, the Rewatchables Library has moved exclusively to Spotify. You can still hear all of the Rewatchables episodes from the past 60 days, as well as a couple classic episodes, wherever you get your podcast. But the entire library dating back to 2017 is available only on Spotify. We have a new Rewatchables coming up Monday night, Wall Street. Me and Brian Koppelman did that one. So that will be there in about 24 hours. Also, the Book of Basketball is going strong. I put up a podcast about Kevin Garnett that Jackie McMullen and I did. If you missed it, go check it out. Coming up, the Cuz and I are going to break down a typically ridiculous weekend of football. First, Pearl Jam. All right, the Cuz is here. I didn't even know what to say about this weekend. We had the single dumbest football game I think we've ever had since I've been an NFL fan. Denver loses all their quarterbacks to COVID. The NFL's like, nope, keep playing.
Yep.
Just do it. And it was so enticing that the line for Denver to score more than 10.5 points was plus 140. And I was like, fuck it. Maybe they'll get a defensive touchdown. The running backs, nope. They couldn't even barely get first downs. They threw picks. It was the single worst game I think I can ever remember seeing on any of my television screens. Cuz, what was your take watching this?
I felt bad a little bit because, I don't know, would you have found that 10.5 over-under if I didn't alert you to it early this morning?
No, because I was trying to figure out a way to bet the plus 17 teased with the over-under.
Yeah, that would
have
been
bad. And there was
too.
You weren't allowed to do anything with that game. So I just ended up doing the over.
Well, yeah, I can't stand it. I can't stand it or understand it. I don't know why some games play. I don't know why some games don't. I don't know why Ravens are half their squad has COVID, but they're still going to play Tuesday.
Yeah.
But Denver was forced. I guess they wanted to make an example out of Denver because there was footage or a picture of something where the quarterbacks were hanging out together. So they broke protocol there, which is ridiculous to me that this still goes on. They need to do the Air Force One treatment where the president flies and then the vice president's on another flight. So they're never together. Like, I can't believe this is still a thing, but it makes me think that it is a little bit arbitrary, right? Just as draft picks are going away, there's going to be fines levied. The Titans probably should have forfeited two games, but because their behavior occurred earlier in the season, they get a break and they weren't forced to play with half a team. I know. I don't get it. And then you have to bet on these games and you're in pools and stuff and you're running fantasy leagues. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Being running a fantasy league or being involved in a fantasy league is just so much work than it used to be. We have these little injured list things, but I just go back to the NFL obviously made a decision like in mid-August. We're having the season. We're treating every COVID thing like it's a sprained ankle or a pulled hamstring. And that's just what we're doing. We're not bending the rules. We're not changing our strategy here, no matter what happens. Even if a team loses all its quarterbacks 2 hours, 2 days before a game, screw it. They can play the running backs at quarterback. This receiver on the Broncos, he was an all-state high school champ who also played some QB in college. They'll be fine.
Yeah.
Let's just do it. Just throw them out there.
You know, and I know I'm looking at it from the NFL's perspective, and they're like, okay, if that Ravens-Steelers game plays Tuesday, they will have gone 12 weeks without having to miss a game, right? Or having someone forfeit a game. And that's pretty good. That's pretty cool that they could do that. But that's where they're like, hey, no asterisk here. We're playing all our games and on time. So you can't put an asterisk. Like, yeah, you can. You're making a team play with no quarterbacks. They had to elevate a wide receiver from Wake Forest from a practice squad to play. The guy had more. He had one completion and two interceptions. That's like, that's not even a real game. Like, who the fuck cares if you add weeks in the end of February? Like, if the Super Bowl was played in March, do you really care? Is the Super Bowl going to be like we remember it with fans and parties and all that shit? No. So play it in March. Move, get three bye weeks or whatever. Put these games where they belong. And I don't get why they're rushing all this garbage.
I actually get why they're doing it. And I'm not defending it, but I get it. I think once they open the Pandora's box and take care of it, then it's like, where do you stop? Where do you draw the line? The way they're doing it now, it's just like, sorry.
And I would draw the line at four quarterbacks being out and forcing another guy that never played the position to do it. Or who threw eight touchdowns and seven interceptions in college to play. I don't know. That just
did you watch the beginning of that game? Because the first couple of plays was kind of fun, right? You're like, all right.
Well, that's the thing. I did watch. Maybe that's the thing. Like, they got more eyeballs on that than they maybe normally would have.
Well, but not after 20 minutes.
Right.
20 minutes in, you go, I now see why a quarterback happens to be important.
Yeah. And in a way, I was
you kind of need one of those.
It's like kind of cool. It's not like the movie version of this where the kid comes out and throws four touchdowns. Like, it showed how hard this sport is. So it's like, all right, at least that put things in perspective. But I feel like I had that perspective already. I didn't see it.
Well, the best thing about it was it definitely was whatever the replacements for 2020 would be with Keanu Reeves.
Right.
Where you have like this practice squad guy, it's his last chance, and he used to play QB in college, but maybe he had like a broken shoulder, it never panned out, they moved him to receiver. This is his one chance to come back. Michael B. Jordan is the QB, gets thrown in, throws for four TDs, he becomes like a Willie Beeman kind of arc.
Right.
No, whatever happened today with Kendall, whatever his name, what was his last name, Kendall?
It was Hinton.
Hinton,
right.
Yeah.
Take a Hinton, yeah.
It was the opposite. We had, in our keeper league, Connor picked him up for $4 and started him at receiver and got minus points. He got a minus 2.65. It was extraordinary.
It's like 3 yards per dollar, I think, right? $4. Craziness.
Honestly, the dumbest thing I've ever seen on a Sunday. I'm not even mad. There was a time in my life where I would get furious and rant and rave, but this is just so abjectly stupid that, and on top of it, they're running these COVID commercials. The NFL is like, wants you to be safe. They're in holidays with COVID. It's like, you guys don't give a shit about anybody. You don't care about human beings.
Right.
You don't care about one person who works for your league. Not one.
They're going to plow through. We haven't missed a game. Haven't missed a week. Don't have to add a week.
But the thing is,
I think every human being has to draw the line in this stuff. And it's like, if you're watching it, you're talking about it, you're betting it, you're doing the fantasy, we're all complicit. I'm not doing the holier than thou thing. I watched football for 10 hours today, like I always did. It's not like, oh man, I'm disgusted, I'm out. I still watched it. I'm as bad as everybody else. But
no, you're worse. You're worse than everybody else.
Slightly worse.
No, I'm bad too. But what my takeaway from this weekend, and I feel like 3 weeks of sports went on since we last talked on last Sunday between golf and boxing, and I'm sure we'll get to it. But my takeaway from this weekend was, A, it's going to be really hard to get through the rest of the year, and B, what the hell does it matter? The Chiefs are so much better than everybody, and they're not even the undefeated team. The Steelers, I'm included, I'm disrespecting the Steelers by saying the Chiefs are way better. They just are. You got to catch them on a really weird day to beat that team.
Don't you think, I was thinking about Kaepernick and Tebow today, two guys who could basically be guns for hire and just be available for the next time a Denver situation like this happens. Like Kaepernick should have been on a plane in 2 hours. I don't know if they could have added him to the roster, you know, that late, but he could just be this hired gun that goes from team to team every time their quarterbacks get demolished. I what did that line go from 5.5 to 17?
Yeah, I saw it as high as 17. Yep.
So Drew Lock to a guy from the practice squad is worth 12.5 points. What was the final score of that game? New Orleans won by?
Final score was 31-3.
So they won by 28.
So it wasn't enough.
They weren't even really playing that well either. That game was ridiculous. And
well,
then
sorry about the over 10.5, but it was looking like you were at one point, you were kick that field goal. That was insanity.
I lost every bet I did except for the teasers.
That was a bad week.
I had my bet against the teams that are tanking for Trevor Lawrence tease. The first one I unveiled. That was the only one that hit.
Right. Yeah.
The Cleveland and Miami. Well, so we had that, and then we had the whole Baltimore saga, which ruined our Thanksgiving night. We didn't get our Thanksgiving night game. That sucked. And then now it's getting pushed to Tuesday. It's holding every fantasy league hostage. I mean, granted, there are worse problems to have in life, but it's like they could end up, that game could just get postponed, and then these people have, there's never been this much fantasy chaos, I don't think ever, right?
Well, and it killed the Thursday game too, which I have a vested interest in, which is going to be the Ravens-Cowboys. And now that's moved to next Monday night, which is like 2:00 Pacific time. Who the hell's going to be watching then? But everything's thrown out of whack. Now the Ravens are the bad guys. Before, the Titans were the bad guys. And I guess now Denver quarterbacks are on the shit list too.
Well, one other subplot today was the gambling public pretty much got crushed today.
Yeah.
This was a demolition. We talked about the watch out, that game looks too easy game. Mm. There were a few of those today.
By the way, you try to solicit a name for that, the too easy game. I got a lot of people said it's the Stormy Daniels game. Looks easy, but isn't. But that but isn't part, we need work, right? I'm not sure. It like, looks easy. I get it. No offense to Stormy. I met her. She's a very nice woman. But I don't know. She was on Kimmel.
The
Stormy Daniels game.
Well, I asked our friends at FanDuel, was there some one-sided action today?
Mm-hmm.
The answer was yes. The Giants, they had a 91% handle and 90% of the bets on that game were on the Giants. The Browns were 84%, 82%. Cardinals were 76% and then 87% of the bets. Mm-hmm. Raiders were 74%, 82%, and the Rams were 70%, 78%.
Over five.
My calculations, none of those five teams covered.
That's how I remember it from viewing, too. In fact, the Raiders did not have a chance. A couple of them won on teasers, though, right? If you had the Giants and Cleveland on the teaser, you won. Giants finally won a close one. But
if you tease the Giants, get professional help.
You don't like that, right?
No, that it just immediately enter some sort of rehab place. So this goes back to a theory I've had that I might just have to try one of these years, because I don't know if people listening even fully understand, but we're not very good at gambling. We understand it. We can speak the language. We have our ups and downs, and that's about as kind as we could say. The move is to just take home underdogs or underdogs every week and then just look at where the money is and go the opposite. And there were some 84%, 16% action. Just even if it doesn't feel right, even if you're like, wow, that's crazy. I can't believe, why would anyone take that team? That's usually the team you should take. And I just one of these years, I'm just going to do that.
It's good. And it comes out in the end. Well, first of all, this is one of the top three out of the last 20 years for underdogs. And specifically, I think home underdogs, they were 9-4, I guess 9-5 after tonight's game this week. But you got to change your whole viewing habit, though, right? If you're taking underdogs, you're most likely rooting for a shithead like Ryan Finley to throw a touchdown in the fourth quarter, right? You're going to root for bad quarterbacks almost all the whole day. So, I don't know. You can't get excited if Mahomes throws a touchdown pass. Not that it was Mahomes Brady today, but if there's a mismatch in quarterback play, you're going to be on the bad side of it.
Yeah, you're rooting for bad quarterbacks like Ryan Finley, Trubisky, Tom Brady.
Yeah. Oh, no. You love it.
We're only a game behind them.
Holy shit, you are.
Yeah.
7-5?
Yeah, we fucking... No, they're 6-5.
No, they have 12. They have 12 wins. 12 games.
Are they 7-5?
Yeah, they in Carolina, the only two teams with 12.
Oh, so we're 5-6. So we're a game and a half back.
Yeah.
I just want to catch the Bucks.
Laugh back?
I don't even care if we make the playoffs. I just want to catch the Bucks. Yeah, if I had to say the too easy game, because even Cardinals-Pats, which I think most people like the Cardinals, they're still that kind of Belichick at home.
We crossed them off. You made us cross them off. That's the only reason I thought it was too easy, but go ahead. What were we going to say?
Raiders-Falcons, I think, was the too easy game. Yeah. Raiders looked great last week. Julio gets scratched an hour before the game. Mm-hmm. The Falcons are just hot garbage.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, man, the Raiders. Why? I mean, only three? What? And they got demolished. And Carr looked like the Carr that we made fun of for years and years. And now, when you look at the playoff picture, they've free-falled now.
Mm-hmm.
They're way back. They're and Cleveland's kind of in the driver's seat, in the five seat at 8-3. With they play both New York teams. They're probably going to end up with at least 10 wins. But that was a devastating one for Vegas.
Well, again, I was and you're right. That was the biggest surprise because 43-6, and Atlanta dropped a touchdown too. It probably could have been worse. But you think after what they did to Kansas City, and this probably worked against them. Like they just have nothing in the tank, right? What more could they do to win, to beat Kansas City? Now they have to go to pitiful Atlanta indoors and Carr and Jacobs, who eventually got hurt, couldn't get anything going. Like, really, not one thing going on that team. But, but again, my takeaway was these teams that I like the Colts and the Raiders and I don't know, who else, like Arizona, who we liked all year. I'm like, that doesn't matter. The Chiefs are so much better than these teams. I get that it's single elimination, but what are we real rooting for here?
This was my first really bad gambling week where not only did I lose the games, but the teams got killed.
Mm-hmm.
Like Vegas got murdered, you know?
Yeah.
I had the Bucks plus three that I jumped on to try to chase, and they ended up pushing. I think just because so many people had bet on the Chiefs, but that was like a moral victory. The tough one was the Chargers one, which we'll get into later. But
the Chiefs had 17 after the first quarter and they were held to 27. That's kind of weird. I will say that. They are having trouble closing out games, but they do feel like it feels like they go through the motions offensively and could do any one of four things each play.
Let's take a break because I want to talk about that Chiefs game. This episode is supported by State Farm. Your first reaction after an accident, probably a swear. Your first reaction after you lease or buy a car and you get into it for the first time, probably just sheer delight. Really, the only words you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to somebody. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com. This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer partner of the NBA. It's just what you need to sit back and enjoy the game. And they're also getting fans closer to the game than ever. You can win exclusive NBA prizes like courtside seats, signed memorabilia, and more. I love Michelob because of how light it is. It's only 95 calories with 2.6 carbs. You know what the perfect time for Michelob Ultra is? A little doubleheader, a little NBA doubleheader. Right, first half of the first game, I don't know, West Coast time, that's usually about 5:00, 5:30, perfect time for a beer. You can do it. Grab a pack to enjoy today. Learn more and enter for your chance to win at MichelobUltra.com/courtside, LDA 21 and up. All right. So one of your takeaways was that the Chiefs were way better than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
The Tyreek Hill thing got really exciting there, where it seemed, I love when Flipper Anderson, one of the best 200 receivers you've ever seen. Probably not, right? Pretty nondescript. Like who's his doppelganger now for 2020? Like Curtis Samuel? I don't even know.
He ran through the tunnel. That's what I remember against the Giants.
Maybe he was slightly better than I remember. Flipper Anderson's the big winner every time somebody lights it up for 2.5 quarters. They just say, oh man, Flipper Anderson, 336.
Oh, he's the right. Yeah. Yeah.
And they always mention it. But one other thing, I was texting with Matthew Berry where Hill had 50.1 fantasy points like halfway through the third quarter.
Jesus.
And I had remembered doing this in a column a million years ago. And then I remember Barry and I'd remembered almost like you have these fantasy deja vu where like Barry and I probably texted about this in 2008, but I can't remember what it was. So anyway, he dug it up. He dug up the 18 guys. It's the 55 club for fantasy. Mm-hmm. 18 guys have had 55 fantasy points with traditional scoring. So the highest ever was Billy Cannon. Billy Cannon, 68 point. He had a 68 point game. Jerry Rice was second.
There were three fantasy leagues when Billy Cannon.
No, there were no fantasy. But you go through the stats, and it's like who had the highest.
Gotcha. Okay.
Jerry Rice had a 65.5. Four guys have been over 60, and 18 total have been over 55.
Are they mostly wide receivers? Do you have the list with you?
Yeah. I'll just go quick. Billy Cannon, yeah. Jerry Rice, Jimmy Smith, Jerry Butler, Jerry Rice again. Jamal Charles, Steve Largent, Art Powell, Gale Sayers, mm-hmm. Clinton Portis, Kellen Winslow, Haynes, Sean Alexander, LaDainian Thomas, and Jim Brown, Priest Holmes, Chris Johnson, and Doug Martin. Remember the famous Doug Martin, 55.2?
Oh, yeah.
So Tyreek did not join the 55 club.
What does he have to do?
Jerry Rice is our only two-timer, proving yet again Jerry Rice was the best wide receiver of all time.
Yeah.
But Tyreek... It always drives me crazy. It's like when a basketball player has 60 and they take the guy out.
Yeah.
Like the Chiefs were winning that game. Like, get Tyreek the record. Get him to 350.
Right.
What are you doing? He had 260 yards. He had a quarter and a half left.
269, 13 receptions. Yeah, they didn't do anything really offensively. That's what I mean. I don't even know if they care half the time. Like, I don't know if I brought up last year, but like when Kelce is in motion, he's just jogging. It's so obnoxious the way he's like jogging in motion and like Mahomes and these double reverses that end up being passes and like, oh, well. And by the way, they kicked a field goal from the 1 yard line, the half yard line. Like, I don't know. It's almost like they're just trying to challenge themselves.
Us not betting on Mahomes to win the MVP like 3 weeks ago is my worst moment of 2020 from a gambling standpoint.
So is he at 30-2? He's 30 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 3,500 yards.
He's so far ahead of whoever the second guy is. It's fucking over.
I'm with you. I think he could play 2 or 3 more games and be okay. Like, he wouldn't even have to finish the season. Like,
it was fun hearing Romo announce his game and just get fired up like 5 or 6 times just because the guy's so freaking good. And then the other thing is when you watch Mahomes in the late games, mm-hmm. This is after the 10 early games where most of the quarterbacks are horrific.
Yeah, really bad.
You know, like Cam Newton, like can't even get to 100 yards.
Yeah.
You going down the line and then this guy comes in the late games and he's just perfect. He's doing everything great. He's got a cannon. He can run for first downs, whatever he wants. It's like, oh, that's how you're supposed to play
quarterback. Were there two quarterbacks with under 100 yard passing that won today?
I think
Cam was one. Who was the other one? I can't remember.
It was Taysom Hill.
Oh, Taysom Hill, right. That makes sense.
Cam was terrible, and I don't know how the Pats won, and we crossed the Pats off last week, and meanwhile, they definitely have a chance to make the playoffs.
What do we do? We have to keep them crossed off.
Yeah, we have to keep them crossed off.
Hope not to eat crow here.
Yeah, that was bad. The Chiefs, I'm with you. I don't care that Pittsburgh is probably going to have home field.
Yeah.
I don't think home field's necessarily even going to matter, but... You don't want to play the Chiefs. They're the clear favorite right now.
Chiefs, Colts, Chiefs, Browns, Chiefs. I get it. One game. It only takes one game. But they're just going to plow through these teams. And I was thinking this for Brady. Is there something like, I know we want to laugh at him. Is there something with that stadium? He has 9 interceptions at home. And we know what Jameis did last year. He has 9 picks in Tampa Bay. Maybe there's a weird mystique. Remember how you couldn't kick a field goal in Pittsburgh for the longest time for some reason? I don't know.
You think the stadium's haunted? That's what you're going with?
I think so.
Tom Brady being 43 years old and repeatedly not being on the same page with any receiver?
Jameis wasn't 43. He didn't have good vision, but he wasn't 43. Over 5,000 yards.
Near the end, Romo said, Jim, I think we could see these two in Tampa in February.
I saw that.
And did this whole thing. It's like, he's like, I saw some things that game. I think they figured some stuff out. I was sitting there like, I watched that whole game. I don't think they figured anything out.
Gronk can't be the leading receiver yardage-wise, right? He can't. Not with those weapons. I know Evans had 2 touchdowns, but Gronk had 90 yards and he was the tops, I think, on the team.
I'm trying to remember an unhappier team as we headed into December. Yeah. Who actually then ended up winning the Super Bowl. Usually by now you have a little momentum, right?
And they have a bye, right? So if you think about it, I don't know if you've thought about this, but is it now all of a sudden, as bad as the NFC East is, whoever has to play that winner, if you look at it from a gambling point of view, that line is shrinking a little bit. I don't think it's more than a touchdown if the Rams go to, or Seattle goes to Philly, Washington, whatever. You know, or Tampa Bay, same kind of thing. I think it's all of a sudden closer. Wild card team should definitely win, but
that was going to be our next segment. NFC East watch. I had the G-men with 7 exclamation points in a 4-7 tie with Washington.
Good.
And I mean, listen, I know a few Giants fans.
Mm-hmm.
You know a few Giants fans. Who's your closest friend who's a Giants friend?
Well, Harry was a Giants fan for many, many years. Now he lives in Arizona, so he stalks Cliff Kingsbury. But if it's Harry, yeah.
What about Crazy Brad?
Oh, Brad. Yeah. Oh, for sure, Brad. Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
And I haven't talked to all the Giants fans I know about this, but I know Giants fans. I know them. I know how they're wired. They want the Bucks.
Oh, yeah.
They want that 4-5 Bucks matchup with Brady. And if that happens and they beat Brady and knock him out of the playoffs, that will be like the third Super Bowl for them.
For sure.
With Danny Jones, a 6-10 Giants team as 10-point favorites. Fuck you, Giants fans. I know you're thinking it. You can all fuck off right now. I know you're thinking it. And the thing that scares me and bothers me is I would be rooting for the Giants in that game.
You would, right?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a game I couldn't root for anybody. I know. I hate that. But please,
that's an Iran-Iraq game?
Yes, exactly. Please, please, can we cross off the Cowboys? I know it was days ago.
No, we're not
we
doing it. No.
Oh, for God's sake, no. Simmons. This is stupid already. Enough.
No. They're in the hospital bed with all the tubes in. I'm not doing it. I'm not pulling the puck.
I've thought about that play all weekend. I should not be thinking about a 4th and 10 with 12 minutes left or whatever, down 4, and they go from it from their own 20. And the way that handoff was taken by Wilson in the backfield, he needed 24 yards to run for.
Are you talking about the worst fake punt of all time?
I hated it. I freaking hated it.
I was trying to think what could have happened where that play worked, because by the time they finished the handoff and he started his run, even if they had faked out the defense, they were not faked out.
Right, exactly. Yeah. If you're straight up the gut, that may work with a faked out defense. When you give him 7 seconds to adjust, it doesn't happen. And the worst part of this for me as a Cowboy fan, like, oh, it wasn't Jason Garrett after all. It's like, okay, he's in charge of the Giants offense, which is 15th in the NFC. Like, everyone calm the fuck down.
I'm
so pissed off about this whole season.
I'm buying NFC East stock.
Oh, for the playoffs?
Nah, just in general. Jalen Hurts supposedly is going to be playing tomorrow night. That'll be fun. I don't know. Giants have been frisky for like 5 weeks.
Yeah, but it's McCoy now. I mean, that hamstring doesn't look good for Danny Dimes. So it could be Hurts, McCoy, Dalton, and Alex Smith could be the NFC East quarterbacks.
It's beautiful. I got to be honest. I didn't watch 1 second of Giants Bengals.
Yeah. Well, they won a close
It popped
one.
On red zone a couple of times, and I was like, oh. That game.
Bengals turned it over at a minute left, had a chance to kick a field goal to win. But the Giants have lost a lot of close ones, so give them one. That's fine.
One other goofy thing happened. The NFC West, which we thought was a potential juggernaut, has really fallen apart. And we have Seattle playing tomorrow night. They're 7-3. We got the Rams at 7-4, which And it was a stay away. I stayed away.
Yeah.
Jared, it was a classic. Jared Goff hasn't played like complete shit in a while. He's due.
Yeah.
And then it happened.
He was back. I mean, maybe you just stay away from every NFC West game because the 49ers are the best last place team in all of football, right?
Right.
They're well,
they certainly seem like, yeah, they seem like the best coached, best run, best overcoming adversity team. Every game they have 14 guys on the IR.
Yeah. I think they had like 11 or 12 guys. Yeah, you're right. Like, so they're going to play tough, but that doesn't, you're probably going to go to Arizona next. That doesn't excuse their poor performance.
They're
but,
6-5.
Yeah.
And they have two Rams games left. So there's some loser leaves town potential with that all of a sudden. Although, who knows? The NFC is so bad, maybe everybody makes it. And then San Francisco's, even though we kind of wrote them off, I don't think they're out of it yet.
I know.
They're 5-6.
So do they play in San Diego? Like, they can't even go home. Like, this city that they've been suing forever said, okay, we're shutting down and at least for 3 weeks. They have to be gone for 3 weeks, but then they have to quarantine to come back. So they're not going to see Santa Clara or where their stadium is for 5 or 6 weeks. That's a whole other disaster that's thrown Shanahan's way.
Yeah, he's coach of the year potential.
He really
Nobody's
is.
Overcome more stuff.
Yeah.
Two coaches who won't be coach of the year.
Yeah.
Cliff Kingsbury, Anthony Lynn. Anthony Lynn, we'll start with him. 8-19 in his last 27 games. Of those 19 losses, I feel like they probably could have won 15 or 16 of them. The whole game was terrible. They did something right before halftime where they had the ball on their own 45. And I was texting you in house about it. They called timeout on 4th and 2, and then they punted. And I was just sitting there, I was trying to figure it out, and it almost broke my brain because you would think, like, don't call timeout, let it run down to 3 seconds, and then just try a Hail Mary.
Right.
What's the point of punting? The punt could get blocked. They could return it for what? I can't think of a single good thing that outcome of calling a timeout. So then you can punt.
Punt, right.
So that was weird. He was already on my radar as like, that's the dumbest thing I've seen today. Well, and then
they had already lost. Oh, you're going to talk about the rest of the game?
I mean, yeah, they complete a Hail Mary. They're down 10.
Yeah.
For incredible play by Herbert, who had a lot of bad luck, I thought, today. Guy gets tackled on the 2. They race down to down the ball, we think, like 28 seconds left. And they called like a run play. And the guy didn't score. And now it's Eckler. Like, and then they had to throw it away. And now there's 9 seconds left. And I've never heard the announcers kill a coach as bad as the announcers killed Anthony Lynn on the telecast.
Yeah. And you forgot
for 3 minutes.
Before, he could have cut the lead to 7, but went for it on 4th down and kept it at 10. They got busted. But then, with less than a minute left, they really didn't have a chance. It was just fun to watch this unravel the way it did. I know I want to like him, and I want to like his decisions. But Matt Patricia must be like, why don't I have a job? What the hell's going on here? Right.
Well, they could have had the cover, which was the funniest part of the
game. Right.
Because you figure, like, you down it, you score, there's 28 seconds left, you get the onside. It was really bad. And I have a feeling he might not last a week. That might have been the final straw.
Oh, really? You think so?
Yeah, I think that there's been too many of those for that team now at this point.
Oof. I think there's so much goodwill with the COVID and his speech and his Hard Knock speech and everything. I thought it would last him the year, but these losses are more and more perplexing. So maybe you're
Listen, if you want somebody who's well-spoken and inspirational, like, fucking hire Morgan Freeman for the last four weeks. Like, they at least try that. The other one who's terrible was Kingsbury, who we called this out a few weeks ago. We said this was the flaw in the Arizona ointment, was their coach does dumbass stuff. Mm-hmm. And blows games for them. And he did it with the Miami game a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm.
The flaw in the ointment or the fly in the ointment?
I said the flaw in the ointment, but I really meant the fly in the ointment.
Okay.
And the flaw in the ointment.
There's so much in this ointment. We got to dig out. Yeah.
I thought, was the reason the Patriots won the game today.
Yeah. Their offense is kind of predictable, right? Like, I'm not saying they need to throw a Hail Mary to Nuke Hopkins every game, but he can't be 4 for 51, right? Or 4 for 55, whatever he ended up being. He has to figure into that offense. And if he doesn't, Murray can't run for 31 yards, you know? Otherwise, they're just a pedestrian team. And your team beat him up. Of course, a little cheating down the stretch with some referees helping you out. But, numbers wise, it doesn't add up with Cam's how he did it. But I don't know what to say. Harris, what was he? 14 for 47. Like, how did you win that game? I'm still not sure how you won that game.
I have no idea how we won. We got a goal line stand when they ran some terrible plays. And the big play of the game was in the final 5 minutes. They had the 3rd and 2.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there, you know, you're thinking like, all right, please don't roll Kyler out. That'll get 3 yards. And it's just like they did the straight terrible handoff right in the middle. They don't get it.
Yeah.
They have to punt. And then, you know, Cam got taken off the hook a bunch of times. I am on a couple Pats fan threads, and N'Keal Harry has now surpassed Sony Michel as the punching bag on the threads. He had one of the worst. I can't even really identify a single thing that he did. Every single time he was involved in anything, it was a worst case scenario. And my buddy J-Buck thinks he should put on 30 pounds over the offseason and they should turn him into a tight end. That's the only way it's going to work. I thought that's actually a good theory because he's so slow anyway. You might as well. Might as well make him a tight end.
Yeah, and everyone goes crazy about Jakobi Meyers, right? Like, this guy is like that. That alone should motivate him to probably quit football.
It's really rough to spend first rounders on a back and a receiver back to back, and they're not good. But the Kingsbury thing, he's cost them 2 games now at least. And from a game management standpoint, it just feels like watching from home. We're more competent than he is, which is not a good sign for them.
Yeah, because you have, I mean, he's out of his element in that division, right? Because McVay, we know, is good, and we know Shanahan is good. And which team am I forgetting? Well, Pete Carroll has the pedigree and everything. But
yeah,
he's on the outside looking in.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to do a little on Jones Tyson, and then we'll do guest lines. This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Look, you gotta keep your legs moving. You gotta keep exercising. You can't ever stop. Whatever it is, maybe you like walking around and doing walking talks on YouTube. Maybe you like hopping on the Peloton every day, day after day after day, because you know, once you get in a routine with your health, it's the easiest thing to keep it going after that. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Peloton's bike instructors, they help keep you motivated from day one. You can even watch your favorite shows as you ride with Peloton Entertainment, which is awesome, by the way. Wherever you're starting, get moving with the Peloton Bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com. That's onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. This episode is supported by State Farm. Your first reaction after an accident, probably a swear. Your first reaction after you lease or buy a car and you get into it for the first time, probably just sheer delight. Really, the only words you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to somebody. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com. All right, so Saturday night, one of the weirdest sporting events I've ever watched, the Jones Tyson pay-per-view, where it came out today, Mike Tyson said he's just smoked pot before the fight. I think that might have been a first. Mario Lopez as our host, Jim Gray was the interviewer. Sugar Ray Leonard was one of the judges. They had Jones and Tyson, and it seemed like the entire goal was to fool us into thinking it was like 2001. But then Roy Jones came out, he had boobs.
Right.
He was completely exhausted after two-minute rounds. And I don't think he landed like a scary, decent, any kind of punch for the last 5 rounds. And somehow it was a draw.
And Vinny Pazienza was one of the judges. And I think he fought Roy Jones, right? So was his mission like, all right, I lost to Jones. I got to make it like that was, I did well. I don't know. In the back, yeah, you're right. He won either all 8 rounds or 6 out of the 8 rounds. And they called it a draw, and it drove me crazy because Tyson, Jim Gray's like, okay, you okay with that decision? He's like, I really am. I'm okay with that decision. Like, what, Mike? I get that you've grown as a person, and I get that you're probably stoned right now, but we need the old Mike Tyson where he's throwing chairs around and beating up like cameramen and ring girls are running for their lives here. How are you okay with a draw, A, and B, how are we betting on this stuff? I stayed away. Our friend House had Tyson. House and I also had Nate Robinson. I'm sure we'll get to that.
That was great. Good one.
I had Curry and Manning over. I like, they got to do it. They can't snap. We used to get mad that, like, why aren't they putting these bet up? Why can't we bet on these things? Like, you can't sanction this shit anymore. The rules are too crooked. Everything's too crooked about it. Boxing's crooked anyway. And then you give us a draw when a guy won all eight rounds. Outrageous.
Well, they were doing the live, whatever the live odds were, round by round. And heading into like the seventh round, Tyson was a 33-1 favorite. But they were showing the judges, and Christy Martin was the only one who had it normal. Then there was, who is the other boxer, not Pazienza? Chad Dawson?
Oh, Chad Dawson. Yeah. Yep.
So heading into the last two rounds, he only had Jones down by two.
Come on.
And Tyson was 33-1. And I'm thinking, like, oh my God, this is going to, and I texted you guys, this is going to be a draw.
Yeah.
And then seventh, eighth rounds, he gives to Roy Jones. Roy Jones couldn't fucking stand up. He couldn't breathe. He was like heaving.
Yeah.
And he was like delirious at the end of the fight. They interviewed him. He's like, it's all about Pensacola, man. Shout out to Pensacola, man. And he was just like a babbling idiot.
You know what they should do? Whenever there's a draw, they should do like just how they had it set up. Jim Gray should interview. He's like, okay, I'm going to interview both of you for a minute. Whoever is most coherent wins the match. And,
right. And it would have been Tyson.
It would have been a slaughter worse than the 8-0 in rounds. Like, he wasn't making any sense, Roy Jones.
Here's the thing. Tyson looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Roy Jones looked like he should never be allowed to box ever. Mm-hmm. And it was funny hearing the announcers like, oh, Roy Jones.
Yeah.
Oh, the know-how.
It's right.
Like, come on. Roy Jones has washed up 7 years ago. But Tyson, actually, I don't know. I would like to see him try to fight a real person.
I have to say, I was thinking about it for this podcast. I was thinking, like, you know, our fathers grew up with Muhammad Ali, and he was obviously great social justice warrior. And he had like the more memorable matches with, you know, with Frazier and Foreman and everything, obviously. And we grew up with Tyson, and I'm glad we grew up with Tyson. I really am. I think he was the most ferocious fighter of all time. There was a certain excitement. I've seen a lot of, or most of Ali's matches, and I guess it's different, but I didn't get the sense of like something crazy could really happen short of biting someone's ears off. Like, we got excited even for the shitty Tyson fights, right? Like,
yeah.
Tillman and
like Saturday night.
Yeah, right, exactly. But then we had, okay, that was pre-prison. Then post-prison, there was Razor Ruddock, and then there was a crappy like Peter McNeely stuff. Now I think if we're getting a third round of Tyson. I don't think he's not done, right? I think he said he's not done. I don't know who we see him fight. Like, Bernard Hopkins is 55. I don't know. Weight-wise, he's probably only still like 145. But we could see like three more Tyson fights. I'm excited.
I texted you and Jimmy before Tyson got interviewed before the fight. And I texted you guys and just said, I take Tyson for granted sometimes that he's the unintentionally funniest person of my lifetime.
The best.
And it's just every time he's talking extemporaneously for 5 minutes, there's seven laughs.
Yeah.
And there, and he's so goddamn likable too. But I hope he comes back. I saw enough power and enough, I don't know, hand speed from him that I think it's realistic. I really do. Now, I don't know if could he stop being punched. I don't know. Like, if there was somebody who's just circling him, just jabbing him for 12 rounds, that probably wouldn't go well. But could he fight some 38-year-old bruiser and beat the guy? Like, yeah, I think he could.
No, I'd rather see more of like the Roy Joneses. I don't even know who I'm thinking of here. I should have thought, like, who would be even
Larry Holmes? Is he still alive?
Yeah, he's too old. I think he was older than Tyson.
Well, one thing I was thinking with Jake Paul is if he was basically like, I am the celebrity champion of the world.
Yeah.
And any other celebrity come at me. Yeah. I have the belt. He makes the belt. He comes out. I'm the celebrity champ.
He basically is doing all that. Yeah.
Yeah. So then somebody's like, oh, you think you're the celebrity champ? And maybe like the celebrity champ could be a thing. I think Jake Paul's pretty good.
He would do it. I think he's talked about McGregor and all that, all those guys, but he is pretty good. People get mad. The Pauls are decent boxers.
Yeah.
They're not bad. And basketball players are not great fighters is the other thing we knew. And Nate Robinson was out of his element. And, you know, whatever. It's a couple $100 that I'll never see again. But, oh, my God. He got slaughtered. You knew when he was up. You know when the ref's like, hey, give me your gloves. If you want to keep fighting, give me your gloves. And he's like, All right. Like, oh, bad move. Bad move, dude. Just stay on one knee.
It did seem like he got rabbit punched.
Oh, and the first one?
In the back first knockdown felt like that was the back of the head. Yeah. The other great thing was, at one point, Mauro Ranallo was killing time with Snoop Dogg, Sugar Ray Leonard, and Israel, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
And it was just, you could hear the producers be like, Mauro, you took him 5 more minutes.
Right.
And he was just like, and Snoop Dogg, you're a big fan of, and it was just this ad lib extravaganza that I really enjoyed.
Snoop, you ever hear of secondhand smoke? And Snoop was great. I'll tell you one thing. I want him on every fight. Don't you want Snoop, like, right? Like,
Snoop is good.
Yeah.
He, the rule they broke was they had 4 guys announcing the fight.
Yeah, and they had to give them all a shot.
Four guys doing play-by-play has never worked ever in the history of sports. But if it had just been Snoop and Mauro Ranallo, I think I would have been all in.
What else do we need?
Yeah, Snoop was a big winner. It felt like a lot of people ordered that fight.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly all the people we knew got it, right?
Yeah, I didn't see the numbers on it, but yeah, he's still a spectacle, Tyson. He really is. Roy Jones was popular too. I loved Roy Jones back in the day, right?
Yeah.
You didn't love him? No?
I didn't like him as much as some others because I felt like he hung on a little too long.
Well, if you did, like, Roy only retired, what, 3 years ago? And you were sending me some videos of his last few fights, which were atrocious. I mean, when he gets knocked out, it's brutal. It's Nate Robinson-esque. But just the fact that he fought 3 years ago makes you think he would be more in shape for this or more ready. Or maybe just Tyson's just tough to hit.
Who do you think was the biggest winner of the night?
Snoop. Great.
I think best. Snoop and whatever Triller is, because I didn't know what the hell Triller
was. Oh, yeah.
What
is that? Yeah.
It was whoever sponsored that fight.
Marijuana wins, too. Whatever ad they were pimping the whole time.
Well, then they got Jim Gray and Michael Buffer.
Yeah,
they really made every effort they could to. I'm down for the celebrity championship. They could do that once a month. I'd be in.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna take a break. Do guest the lines. All right, we're gonna do guest the lines. We always use FanDuel for the lines. Add a little excitement to your sports watching experience by betting on all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook this football season. There's a reason it's America's number one sportsbook. Their app is simple to use. They have great odds on all different betting markets. Unique fun bet types like same game parlay. Exclusive always on promotions. And if you win, they even get your winnings safely to you in as little as 24 hours. Right now, FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Just place a bet on any game. FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back. If you don't win, no strings attached. If you win, keep the cash. If you lose, you get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in site credit. We'll mention when we do guest lines right now, we'll mention a couple games that we like. Sometimes it's good to jump on them early before the crazy line shifts begin. If you create same game parlays for any of the games, it's really fun. You got to do it within 24 hours of the game. So for instance, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, you can hop on there and maybe bet that whoever is going to be the Baltimore quarterback might throw a pick because it's not going to be Lamar Jackson. Tie that with the Pittsburgh money line and you're ready to go. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started. Be sure to sign up with promo code BS so they know I sent you. FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code BS. Must be 21 plus, present in Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, West Virginia, Indiana, Colorado, Iowa, Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Set credit non-withdrawable expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem. 800-522-4700 Colorado. 800-9-WITH-IT Indiana, 800-GAMBLER, Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Redline, 800-889-9789, or visit 1800GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. All right. No Thursday game.
No.
Kind of a bummer.
It is.
2 Monday games. What are the lines for the Monday-Tuesday game? So we got Seattle-Phillies, still Seattle 5.5.
Yeah, it's 5.5.
And Baltimore-Pittsburgh is what?
Well, it was 3 when we guessed it last week, and now it's 10. Now it's a full 10.
Okay. So Sunday marquee game. I'm just doing this for the comedy. Titans-Browns. Derrick Henry is climbing up the MVP charts. He certainly on the short list of if you bet on the other team and Derrick Henry's doing his thing, you kind of feel helpless. You're like,
that's
fuck.
It. Shut the screen.
I can't believe I'm on the other side of this guy.
I was on the other side of that guy. And my only saving grace, I was like, well, this is going to be, first of all, it was before they became the COVID Colts and they had four starters, ironically, against the Titans, the biggest, dirtiest team in the league. They had four defensive starters out. And then they had a center out. They had Jonathan Taylor out. And the line still stayed at three. And I was like, okay, it's indoors. It won't be cold. They won't have as tough a time tackling Derrick Henry. And I was way wrong.
It's a terrible combination where if the Titans are up, you feel helpless because they can just ram the ball with him. And if you have the Colts and they're behind, you have Phil Rivers. And once he's down 10, you just give up.
Right.
He's not going to orchestrate. He's just not coming back. Mm-hmm. Titans, Browns, it's in Tennessee. I have the Titans by 5.5.
That's exactly what I had. And I stand by it. Now they're making this 4.
Hmm.
That's a weak line. I'm not buying this Cleveland thing. Still not buying it. Every game's the same. It's cold. They play a shitty team. They pull it out at the end. Nick Chubb, you know, runs for something and then you know, ends up having, what did he have? I mean, they're a different team with him. 19 for 144.
No Garrett today. Denzel Ward didn't play. This was like, today was the game that the Browns should have lost because they're the Browns. So like, oh my God, they lost to Jacksonville and they actually won it.
Do you think they get to 10 wins? I was looking at, you do. Do you see?
They're a different defense when Garrett's out there. Like if Garrett plays in this Tennessee game, I think they have to be taken more seriously. He's one of the three best guys.
Oh, for sure. Titans, Steelers, Ravens though on the schedule. Ravens team that's going to need to win. And then Giants, Jets. At both of those.
One thing I've noticed today is, you know, I'm not a big Baker fan. I thought he was really good in the game today. Like more because Stefanski has just completely figured out how to use him and just put him in position to succeed and that's it. But some of the rollout stuff, some of the play action stuff, I thought he was solid.
I'm tougher on him because he's in every single commercial.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, all right, Baker, enough. You're playing the Jaguars. Why do I have to see you in this progressive ad 47 times?
Don't worry. This is the last year for that.
Yeah.
Next, we go to the watchables. I'm going to put Saints Falcons in the watchables instead of the barely watchables because the Saints have been on a little streak.
Mm-hmm.
Their games are always fun. Saints Falcons. Falcons looked pretty goddamn good today. And I have Saints by 4.5 at Atlanta.
I think I get this. I said 3. It's 3.5.
Hmm.
Yeah, listen, let's not bet Denver. Let's not bet Atlanta. Let's not bet the teams playing Denver. Let's not bet the teams playing Atlanta.
Right? Atlanta's 4-7 and they're plus 14.
Plus 14 point differential? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they, yeah.
4-7. They easily could be 6-5.
Made up for lost time today for plus 37 today. Yeah. I mean, they had 304 yards today and they scored 43 points.
Yeah. Colts, Gurley was one of those injuries where it's like, oh man, they don't have Todd Gurley.
Right.
And you go, okay, they might be better off with three guys on the depth chart.
Yeah.
Next one is Colts, Texans. It's in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Houston won 2 games in about 100 hours and kind of rejuvenated their season a tiny bit. They're not a playoff team.
Yep.
The Colts, depending on what week you catch them, they either look like dog shit or they look like an AFC lead contender. I have the Colts by 3 in Houston.
Yeah, that's what I had. Colts 3, it's 2.5. So we both get that. I got killed on Thanksgiving also. This is one of my worst gambling weeks in a while. Between the golf and,
and
Nate Robinson and the Thursday games and Sunday. But do you have a witness relocation program? Player like mine is Deshaun Watson. I want him off that Houston team. I need him to go somewhere else, right? Is there anyone else you think about when you think of like, well, we saw what he did with Houston. They're going to be the Shakey's game. They'll be the first round, the first Saturday game in the playoffs. They'll either win or lose. They're not going to go further than that. He's got to get off that crap team and may even put him on a crappier team in the Bears, but I think he would be better with the Bears than he is with Houston or anyone good, obviously.
So you're saying the Bears should trade like 4 first round picks for him?
Yeah, sure. Anything.
That, you know, I was thinking about that, why that hasn't happened in football yet. Because in basketball, the value of first round picks has just completely gone haywire, right? Right. Mm-hmm. The Davis trade, the Jrue Holiday trade, the Kawhi Paul George trade. Mm-hmm. And people, even Robert Covington goes for 2 first round picks. Like teams are very willing to trade first round picks now. And I wonder in the NFL that bridge has not been crossed yet with one of these trades where the Bears just going to Houston, we'll give you 5 first round picks for Deshaun Watson. Like what would be the number to make Houston go, oh shit, really? I mean, I guess it'd be harder now because they signed
him. You think it would be 5? Yeah, the contract is something different. No, it would be like 2, right? You think more
for Deshaun Watson? I think it'd be at least 3.
Plus pick up the salary? Really? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, basketball, here's the thing. You trade first round picks, they're not necessarily starting on your team. Like football, first round pick is definitely meant to start on the team right away, right?
Unless it's the Patriots.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But Deshaun's my witness relocation. You should think of if there are any. I have a few Cowboys that could leave too that would be better for them. But Deshaun's my guy.
Well, for years, it was Larry Fitzgerald when he didn't have quarterbacks for all those years.
But he made the Super Bowl. He almost won the Super Bowl.
No, I mean, after that. Like after Kurt Warner retired, when it was just like, oh, man, Larry Fitz.
Yeah, yeah, he just runs up the numbers, but can't win. Yeah.
Moss was a good one in the mid-2000s.
Oh, right.
When he was, before the Pats got him, when he was like stuck on those crap Raider teams. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Deshaun's a good one. I think that's the right pick.
All right.
Mitch Trubisky would be last.
I stand by it. He's much better than Foles.
He's definitely better than Foles. Yeah, I agree with
you.
Watch
him. He completed an 18-yard pass. I was like, that's it. That's all I need to see. And he throws downfield.
Next one is a borderline loser leaves town match, but it's not. But it, mm-hmm. you could talk yourself into it being Cards Rams. It's in Arizona. 2 teams that just love to, every time you're feeling good about them, just kick somebody in the nuts. Mm-hmm. I have the Cards by 3.5 against the Rams.
I had Cards by 1. It's Rams by 1.5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, see, damn. This is what I mean. They still love the Rams over there. I might stay away from this.
Or they don't like the Cards.
Yeah. Well, the Cards didn't cover against Seattle, right? They lost.
I was way off on that one.
Lost today. Rams lost today. The Rams blew it. The Rams had the ball and up 3. I mean, I thought for sure, like, all right, 49ers had their fun, but I don't know. I just thought those are games that McVay wins, but they couldn't score there.
It's tough. Goff had a couple of the worst series of his career. That wasn't helping. Seahawks, Giants. I have this in the watchables just because of what's going on with the G-men and Russell Wilson. And this just feels like a game where you tease the Seahawks and with 5 minutes left, it's tied and you're sweating it out.
Right.
I have the Seahawks by 8.
I said 9.5 and it's 9. Oh, good. Oh, I'm in good shape here. All right. 5-2.
Okay.
Keep it going. Yeah, I don't know. If it's Colt McCoy, it's not as exciting, right?
Yeah,
in Seattle.
I do like Colt McCoy. Yeah. Next one is Chargers-Pats. This is in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
A sad one for me. I was always excited for the LA game where the Pats came to town.
Oh, yeah.
Could do a little Boston hang, all the jerseys. Nope, not going to happen.
Yeah, you could hang in the parking lot. I'm sure they'll let you in. Yeah.
I have the Chargers by 3.5.
Oh, wow. I said 1.5, and it's 1. Kitchen sink game, right? For the Patriots. They're going to outcoach them. That's one element.
It's true that it would have to be worth about 14 points, the coaching matchup.
Yeah.
Eckler being back, I just thought, I couldn't believe the Chargers didn't get more points. You think they had so many weapons. The Bills had a good pass rush in that Chargers game. I was surprised. That was the best their front 7 had looked that I can remember this season. Herbert was under duress, but still.
Well,
some
and you
dumb,
can run on
plays.
Him too. If today's any example, didn't the Bills have what they have, like 172 yards rushing or something?
Yeah. Barely watchables. I only have 1 in this one. Packers Eagles. Mm-hmm. We'll see how Jalen Hurts does tomorrow night. I had the Packers by 7.5 against the Eagles.
You got that exactly. I said 7.
All right. COVID corner. Steelers. home for the Washington professional football team. Who the fuck knows? I have Steelers by 11 and a half.
I had 11. It's 10.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's where things should turn around, right? Although the Steelers will be playing on 5 days rest. So, well, I hope that's not a stupid game. Just let the Steelers run.
Washington with Gibson and McLaurin.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard for them to not be competitive. You saw it in that Thursday game. Those two guys, those guys play really, really effing hard.
I didn't watch. And, I'll take your word for it.
The poop fecta, we got four games. We'll go through them quickly. The Bears are home for the Lions. Who's the new Lions coach? Did they pick a coach?
You know, I didn't even check. Who is it?
I don't think they picked the coach.
No. Nobody wants it.
Yeah.
I've not seen, I knew like people didn't like Patricia, but boy, oh boy, there were like 10 like former players who verbally came out like on Twitter and like, good riddance, goodbye. Oh, I guess it wasn't my fault. It was like one after another. Like, holy shit. You don't see that.
It was
really
tough. Well, he came in, he tried to do this whole I'm bringing a new culture thing and did not go well from day one. I have the Bears by 2.5 in this game.
I hit this exactly. It's 4.
Jesus. How could anyone put the Bears by 4 over basically any team except the Jets or the Jags?
I don't know.
I mean, the Bears have been getting killed week after week.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
I'm with you. Maybe
and yet I'll never take the Lions.
I didn't change it after the Sunday game, so.
Dolphins are home for the Bengals. I have Dolphins by 8.
I got beat up on this, too. I said 7.5. It's 11.5.
Hmm.
What? So Tua's thumb is really messed up, huh?
Yeah. Although that could actually help the Dolphins this year as a playoff team.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like Fitzpatrick is a more solid choice when the line's 11.5 for sure.
Vikings-Jags, that's in Minnesota. Vikings won a ludicrous game today. I have no idea how Carolina blew it. And Carolina, it seems like every other week it comes down to Joey Sly trying to make a really long field goal and somehow it either missing or him shanking it.
Yeah, he kicked it further outdoors than he did and straighter than he did, you know, against the Chiefs than he did in the dome against the Vikings. So
I have
could they be tanking? I don't say. I heard a lot about tanking, but
it seems Panthers? Well, Sly would have to be on the payroll at this point. Vikings, I have by 9.5 over the Jets.
Oh, you got it exactly. Shit. Yeah. I had 9. Well, you got that Jeremy Chin, two touchdowns, 13 tackles, kept the Panthers in that game.
Jeremy double chin. the Vikings not out of it.
Well, if they didn't lose that dumb game to my suck squad there, the Cowboys, they would have been right in there, right? Otherwise, like, and they play Tampa, right? I think, is that their, Brady's got a bye. That might be their first game back after the bye. They could clinch basically a playoff spot beating the Vikings there.
So
there's not much chasing them.
If the Rams beat Arizona and Minnesota beats Jacksonville, they would be in a tie for the seventh playoff spot.
Wow. Really? That's all they need?
Yeah.
We're not forgetting anyone? So Seattle, the Rams would make it.
No, it's New Orleans, Seattle, Green Bay, NFC East as your four top seeds. Then Tampa 7-4, Rams 7-4, Arizona 6-5, Minnesota and Chicago are 5-6.
No kidding.
Yep.
I guess that's it. Well, you talk about like offensive rookie of the year. It's Justin Herbert. And Jefferson is making a move. Like he had another good game today. He had 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, it's funny. My son and I bought a bunch of football cards because he's really into football cards. So it's like, which cards do you protect in the really nice protector?
Protect Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, Jefferson, Herbert, Tua, and Burrow. Those are like the top four. And
nice.
Then there's a whole other level of like Clyde and Chase Young and Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, all those dudes. But Jefferson and the quarterbacks are the four best, I think.
Yeah, that's fun.
He's really good. That was a great trade. That was one of my favorite trades in a while. Diggs for Jefferson, basically.
Yeah, basically. I mean, they were basically even going into today. And then I think Jefferson went ahead.
All right, next game is Raiders-Jets, our last poop-fecta game. It's at the Jets. Raiders, I have favored by 7.
Yeah, you're going to get this. I went way high. I mean, come on, 7. It's 7.5. How could anyone give anything less than 10 to the Jets? They're definitely going 0-16 here. So bad.
This tease won this week, and it's probably going to win again next week. What did we say the Vikings line was?
Vikings is 9.5.
Yeah, so you do a 7-point tease with the Vikings Raiders right now, and it's basically you're betting that those teams are going to continue to tank.
It's a good bet. The Jets tease you like they'll be winning 3-0 or something, and then they absolutely don't show up for the second half or the second quarter or any of those quarters in between. Like, I don't get, maybe there's weather or something. I don't know how the Raiders would blow this. But
well, one thing with, we talked about how we know Giants fans. We also know Jets fans.
Mm-hmm.
Jets fans deep down know that their team is going to fuck this up and win one of these games down the stretch. It's going to happen.
Well,
they're in pole position and they're going to fuck it up because they're the Jets and they're going to end up winning one of these games. And not only winning it, but it's going to be one of those, like a 40-yard touchdown with 10 seconds left,
right,
or 59-yard field goal. It's going to be this gut-wrenching win,
right,
and they're all going to flip out, and it'll probably happen like right around Christmas.
Yeah. Maybe
for a true
right
holiday punch to the boss.
But they could be 1-15 and still get that number one, right? You don't think Jacksonville win it? I don't know.
Well, Jacksonville's doing their best. They brought in freaking Mike Glennon. all right, three more games. Let's take a quick break. Businesses have had to be flexible this year, from working remotely to pivoting their business models for long-term survival and growth. You've seen restaurants trying to figure out a little outdoor dining, how to do more takeout, curbside delivery, stuff like that. You've also, like, look at The Ringer. We figured out how to do all of our podcasts remotely. We've learned how to do things that honestly we didn't know how to do in February. So if you're in charge of hiring for your business, these pivots have made your job even more challenging, especially if you have to hire for brand new roles. Thankfully, one place you can always count on to make hiring faster and easier, ZipRecruiter.com/BS. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, get sent out to over 100 top job boards with one click, and then ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds people with the right skills and experience for your job, actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 to 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself right now. ZipRecruiter, try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/BS. Let ZipRecruiter take hiring off your plate so you can focus on growing your business. ZipRecruiter.com/BS. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, 3 night games next week. Sunday night is Chiefs-Broncos. Do we know if Drew Lock will be in this game? He probably will be, right?
They made a line, and I'll give you a hint. They made a line based on him playing, or one of those guys playing. Yeah.
Right. That's what I figured. So I got Chiefs by 14.5 over the Broncos.
All right. I said 16 because that's more accurate, but your FanDuel agrees with you. It's 13.5.
Okay. What's the score between us right
now?
Hold on.
Now I think you're within one now. It's 8-7.
Oh,
there are 2
yeah
Monday games. There's no line. There's no line on Baltimore Dallas. So if you win this, you tie me.
And why isn't there a line on Baltimore Dallas?
I guess they
19
don't know
guys have COVID on the Ravens.
Yeah, 19's the magic number. They don't know about Lamar, but Lamar will play.
I would have guessed Ravens by 9 over the Cowboys.
No, I said 7.
But. Okay.
All right. Now, I was off by 0.5 here, so you basically have to get it exactly.
Mm.
Buffalo, 49ers, San Francisco. Yep.
Yeah. 49ers, Bills. It's in San Francisco.
Well, yeah, wherever they're playing. Yeah.
Oh, so you think this actually, they're going to shut this down and make them play it in, like, where?
What do you mean, I think? There's a whole order. They can't play there. I don't know. Will they have to go to, like, the soccer stadium in San Diego or something?
That'd be cool. I have the 49ers by 1.
All right. So you were way off anyway. It's Buffalo by 3. I said 2.5.
Oh, God damn it. Buffalo by 3.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with that line. All right. You won another week.
One. That's a tough one. Was that my third? What are we? 8-3-2 you are now.
Our bye week teams are the Bucks and the Panthers.
Yeah. This is the latest I remember a bye week in a while.
Yeah, it does seem a little late.
Usually knock them out by Thanksgiving.
Did you have the first twinges of sadness that football is going to end soon?
Yeah, I'm getting there. Well, it's one way or another. I mean, with all this COVID.
It literally might end soon.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is weird, right? We only have, like, I was looking at, I can name Tampa Bay's four opponents. Like, that's how late in the season we are now.
Hmm. All right, it's time for Parent Corner, brought to you by CarMax, America's number one used car retailer. Whether you're buying or selling, our friends at CarMax are on your side with the 7-day money-back guarantee at CarMax. You've got a full week to decide if it's the right car for you or simply return it for a full refund, no questions asked. And if it's time to sell, stop by CarMax today to get a custom offer on your car. Leave with payment in hand or take a week to think it over. Car buying, car selling, the way it should be at CarMax. Check them out today at CarMax.com. Sal, you have the floor.
All right. Thanksgiving, obviously, Thursday. We usually have about 20 people over. You know, I have like Don Barris, crazy Don, and his girlfriend, and we have a few friends and whatever. My mother will bring a friend or whatever. Well, we cut it down to 17. It was just my family, my mother and father, my sister. And so we went around the table. We always say what we're thankful for. And, you know, it's a little emotional this year. I don't know if you do it. Do you do that or you just go right to the eating?
We do. Nephew Kyle was at Thanksgiving with us, and he gave an emotional little speech about stuff he was thankful for. Yeah.
Yeah. It's an emotional year, right? It's like, wow, we got to Thanksgiving. Who the hell knew? I'm looking at older people. I'm like, you know, thank God you're still with us. Let's keep this going. And then after that, we decide to play a game of telephone, which I was like, all right, I just want to eat. You know, I want to finish off these last 17,000 calories and lay down. So they're like, no, we'll play telephone. So you whisper in someone's ear and it goes around the table and whatever you originally whispered is usually screwed up and you get a laugh at the end. So I think I whispered into my wife's ear something like, I wish football was going on so I didn't have to talk to these people. So she then changed it to Trump wears a red tie. And I hear her say that and I'm like, oh shit, here we go. So here's the dynamic. My mother and sister are big Biden or anti-Trump, and my father is a big Trumper. My father parks in front of Fox News for 14 hours a day. And so if this gets to him in any certain way, but this is like, you know, like, okay, everyone's being cool. We did the nice thing where we said what we're thankful for. Trump has a red tie, but I could see two moves ahead. So I know this is going to go sideways in a minute. It gets to my mother and sister, and it turns into Trump is a big lie or Trump's administration is a big lie. And then that's whispered to my six-year-old who has to whisper that to my father that Trump is a big lie. And then he's like, oh, really? Oh, we're going to get political now. And like, oh, just don't. Like, and then we start talking about votes and counting votes. I'm like, stop, please stop. This is now we're all of a sudden the punchline to every late night joke about the arguing. But yes. And like my six-year-old is like, what the hell did I do? All I did was repeat what was said to me. Why is everyone screaming? We were just laughing a minute ago. So I got in front of it. So, but I guess the moral story is for once my wife was the troublemaker and wasn't me, because I know that was going to go really badly. But cooler heads prevailed and we didn't talk politics for the rest of the night. But
good, no but food
the,
fight?
The kids were upset. What's that? No food fight? No. I'd eaten everything on the table, so there wasn't room for that.
Man.
Oh,
tense Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
We finished dinner. There was no football game. Mm-hmm. And then Kyle disappeared in another room and just fell asleep, passed out. He'd had like, I don't know, three or four cocktails and a lot of turkey. It was just passed out on a couch. My kids thought this was hilarious. Ben goes over with a Sharpie and draws a giant dick on his arm in a Sharpie, which Kyle didn't realize happened. Kyle, when did you find the dick on your body?
Just show us, Kyle. It's still there.
Zoe came up to me and I washed it off. It took a lot of scrubbing, but Zoe came up to me and like pointed it out. And I thought I was dreaming, but no, that's your kid.
Oh, Zoe told you?
Yeah, she woke me up and told me.
Oh, Ben,
I found out by myself.
If you had to put odds on it, just seeing it on your arm, you would have thought Ben like minus 2,000, right?
Yeah, and he's drawn many of them before. It was like a professional drawn dick.
No, I think she drew it, but at Ben's behest.
Oh, really?
So that was you had a political argument. I had dicks being drawn on arms.
Yeah, I would have traded with you. Yeah.
So, are you at the stage with your kids where they want to watch a movie that you know is terrible, and you talk them out of it? But they won't be denied because they've had success with stuff like Karate Kid, some of the stuff from the past.
What do you mean they've had success? I mean, you've pushed that on them, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying because there's been good examples, they're like, why can't we watch this one? And you go, no, that one's a bad one.
Right, yeah.
So my son, we watch both, but we watch Bad News Bears and Bad News Bears and Breaking Training. Bad News Bears and Breaking Training, I think, is one of my son's top five favorite movies.
Really?
And has held up shockingly well.
Really?
Like, just shockingly well. It's a little incorrect, but it's just really funny.
Is that the Astrodome? Is that the one that ends in the Astrodome?
Yeah, okay. Kelly drives the van. They go, Engelbert jumps out to take a dump in the every beat is good. It's almost perfect. It's got the Let Them Play. It's like a perfect 70s movie. So
some racist stuff, though, right? Or no?
Incorrect. Now, gotcha. The first one's a little less PC.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, it was the 70s. Shit happens.
Right.
But I've never let my son watch the third one, Bad News Bears Go to Japan, which is one of the worst sports movies of all time. It's one of the worst movies ever. And my son's like, no, we're going to watch it. And I'm like, no, we're not going to watch it. I'm telling you, it's one of the worst movies. No, maybe you don't remember. I'm like, no, I'm positive it's terrible. I'm positive. Yeah. It's one of the 5 or 10 worst movies anyone's ever made. No, let's see. Kelly's in it. So now he's on IMDb. He's like, Kelly's in it. It's got to be good. Kelly's in it. I'm like, Kelly looks like he's 30 in this one. No. So anyway, he makes us watch it. I can't tell you how bad it was. I really think it might be the worst movie of all time. And with 10 minutes left, he starts yelling at me. He's like, why didn't you tell me? I'm like, oh my God, I told you for 7 days in a row. No, we can't watch this. It was so bad. And it kind of ruined our Saturday night post Tyson Jones.
Wait, who's the Walter Matthau in that?
It's Tony Curtis.
Okay. Right.
So it's Walter Matthau in the first one, William Devane in the second one,
right,
who's great. William Devane is like lights out as Kelly's estranged father.
Really good.
And then Tony Curtis in the third one, who's just exceptionally unlikable and terrible. And
really?
The movie's, it's super racist, like in just kind of an atrocious way. It's not funny. The baseball is like unbelievably dumb. Guys are batting out of order.
Mm-hmm.
I really think it might, like Rocky V, Fletch 2, like some of those you think are the worst sequels ever. I really think pound for pound, Bad News Bears Go to Japan is the
worst. I was just going
to
say to you, I have a great idea for a podcast and I just need Spotify. I just want Spotify to give me $17 million for it. Can you get that for me? You can. You will.
What's the idea?
Worst threes. So you could preview Godfather 3. I know you're doing rewatchables anyway and it's a great franchise. But worst threes is rewatchable threes. It could be Bad News Bears Go to Japan. It could be Reggie Miller's three against the Knicks where he really traveled or got whatever.
It's just anything with a three that's
just
terrible.
Just pull the threes. Yeah. Threes all over the place. Well, the
Karate Kid 3 was also atrocious, but is really funny though.
Yeah.
Like you watch that one, it's now a comedy. It's
Coward!
Really good. The guy, the rich billionaire, devotes his life to destroying this fucking high school kid.
Based on a grudge he held 60 years ago from some guy who lives 10,000 miles away.
That movie, but it's fun. It's like unintentionally hilarious.
Bad
News Bears Goes to Japan is not, there's no nothing good. Fun.
Sometimes it's Japan awful. Pays dividends, sometimes it doesn't. Yeah.
It's really, really horrible. Anyway,
that's a good
I think
one.
I won this one over my son, though, because now he believes me when I'm adamantly telling him not to get one. Anyway, so that was my Thanksgiving holiday. Dicks on Kyle's arm and Bad News Bears Goes to Japan. And then Tyson Jones.
That could be a lot worse, yeah. I want to say something about the golf. I know. Do you have to sign off on Parent Corner?
Yeah, let's sign off on Parent Corner. All right, that was Parent Corner brought to you by CarMax, America's number one used car retailer. Car buying, car selling, the way it should be. Check them out today at CarMax.com.
The golf, I get it. House called it. I was wrong. He had Mickelson, the pro, and Barkley against Manning and Curry. And this set me in a tailspin because I had a lot of money on Manning and Curry. I've seen enough of Barkley's swing to know that Mickelson, even though it's his course, he owns the course, he's not going to be able to dig himself out. What I didn't know, and what I don't think House knew, I'm going to have to check with him, is that oftentimes Barkley was teeing off 90 yards closer than the other three. How is this not stipulated? I read 7 articles on this before I made the bet. You don't see this anywhere that Barkley's teeing off closer than these guys. And what it allowed for them to do is sometimes on the par fours, they would use Barkley's tee shot, right? Because it's a scram, they're alternating. And then like Mickelson does the approach shot. So they're on the green. And then Barkley can't really screw up from there. I can't believe that. They got to get rid of these bets. I'm sorry. I used to love the gadget bets. I'm done with them now.
So he was like teeing off from the whites?
It was ridiculous. And everybody was okay with it because I guess it was prearranged. And then plus he had the game of his day of his life shooting. So yeah, he was way ahead of everything.
So your big losses were Barkley hitting off the white tees.
Yep.
And a fight that was scored by Vinny Pazienza.
Nate Robinson not coming through.
Those were your three losses?
And the Colts.
Oh, you stayed away from Tyson.
Yeah, I stayed away from that. Oh, we can go back. I mean, I had the freaking Lions and I had the Cowboys on Thursday. So
you had the Lions?
I loved the Lions. I just love
why?
Them. Because teams that got shut out the week before were 12-5-1 against the spread the following week. I'm like, this is where Stafford steps up. And he stepped
that was
into
such
a
sad
shit.
Football Thanksgiving.
It was bad. I know.
It was just nothing was fun about it. And then we had no night game. It was.
You didn't think 4th and 10, the reverse for minus two? I thought that was a good call.
What do you got to play?
Fox Bet Live. I'm on 5 p.m. Eastern time on FS1. Extra points. Yes, listen to us. Go to extrapoints.com. Brother Bry from Against All Odds picked 10-1 odds that Mahomes would have the most passing yards. Those are free picks on extrapoints.com. Wow. Yeah, he was third, by the way. Like Ryan was first, and I forget who was second, but Mahomes 10-1. No Thursday game, and pre-order my book, You Can't Lose Them All, at Barnes & Noble or wherever you pre-order stuff like that.
All right, Cuss. Good job by you.
Good job by you, Billy.
That's it for the podcast. Don't forget, new rewatchables coming Monday night. Wall Street, Michael Douglas, classic. He won the Oscar for it. It is weirdly timeless. So we have that coming up. New Book of Basketball coming this week as well. And don't forget about TV Concierge on Spotify, where we're going to be cranking that back up this week. And I'm going to have the first one. And it's going to be about a movie that was on either Hulu or Netflix. I don't want to spoil it for you, but I will tweet out the link when we put it up. Or just subscribe on Spotify. Back on this feed on Tuesday. See you then.